his life. And it's great to have Pastor Philip back with us today and in the house. He preached powerfully. Last Sunday, I was preaching way north, Metro Atlanta. I was watching the service. Elle was driving me, so I was watching and was able to watch right until he came on the stage and was just in his opening remarks, and I was having to go in my service, and I have had a busy week and haven't had the opportunity to go back and listen to the message that he preached. But everybody has been telling me, everyone has been saying, man, did you hear Pastor Philip? It was such a blessing. And so finally, last evening, I was able to just put it on and just listen. And man, I was blessed by the word of the Lord. And our AV department can certainly tell you that my notes had already been emailed to them on Thursday night or Friday morning. My message was long since prepared before I heard any of his comments. In the message, he declared some things over our church and declared some things even prophetically that God was going to do, and really just in line with what so many of us have been feeling lately. And what I am going to teach today, what I am going to open this new series with today, is really the how-to of what he said. Some of the things that God declared through him, it is the how-to. And I've really wrestled a little bit this week because I felt like this message was kind of out of order, out of sequence, that kind of order, out of sequence to this new series. I've said this before, and if you're around here week after week, week one of a new series is always the wrestling match. For me, it's when I'm really wrestling with a subject and trying to grab hold, and then it does other things the next few weeks. And I don't know exactly how long I'm going to be teaching in this series, but it's called I Love My Church. And I really do. I love my church. I'm not ashamed of my church. I'm not embarrassed by my church. I know it's not perfect, but it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I hope you feel like it is yours as well. I know it sounds weird. Do you own that? I'm not saying that from the respect of my position. I'm one who doesn't say that. I don't talk to other preachers and say my people or my church. That's never been a part of my vocabulary because I don't feel any personal ownership in that regard. But this is my church. This is your church, and we're supposed to love it. We're supposed to value it. We're supposed to want to serve it and see it be the very best that it can be. And I think it's important to feel that way. I think it is important to establish that because the church has been under attack. The global church, the capital C church, has been under attack really for a long time, but we've seen it happen to such a degree in the last number of months, from complete shutdowns. We were not having in-person services for about 11 weeks in 2020. We're completely online. There's still many of our church family that are worshiping online, and we're so thankful to have everyone, whether you're in person or online. But we have seen the church struggle and suffer because of some of the challenges that we have faced. Whether it's not meeting or whether there were unfair restrictions. We didn't feel that so much in Georgia or in Newton County, but so many parts of the country. They are arresting pastors. They are fining pastors $10,000 a day for allowing anybody to worship or anything like that. I mean, it's really unbelievable, some of the things that have happened. And I heard my friend Jim Raley say, a wonderful pastor from Florida, he said, I've seen the church heal the nation many times. eyes. But I've never seen the nation heal the church. That's why we need to have a strong church. Because you allow there to be a disaster, you allow there to be a flood, you allow there to be a hurricane or tornado or any kind of disaster in the nation. If someone's house burns down in the community, it's always the church that rushes in first. How can we heal? How can we help? How can we serve? How can we make a difference? How can we be a blessing? But there is no one running to the rescue of the church. The nation is not coming to say, hey, how can we rebuild churches? How can we make it easy for churches to get back in their groove and do what they are so good at doing? So the church has to fight. The church has to claw. The church has to work that much harder and double down and try to overcome the challenges. So this series, there's going to be some serious, there's going to be some fun. I believe this is going to be a time to remind us and also a time for us to remember who we are and what it is that we are called to do. So let me ask you a question today. Do you love your church? I was hoping you might respond that way. I love my church. Maybe you're new here and you're not sure if this is your church. That's all right. We've got Discover Church. We'll explain to you everything. We'll go into detail about the vision and the beliefs and how you can be a part of it. And we just allow a long on-ramp if you just need time to figure out if this is where God wants you. In fact, people that make really hasty decisions with their spiritual future, they make me nervous. I like people that contemplate. I like people that want to talk about things. I like people that want to consider a thing. Now, if you've been 2 years making a decision, then you may have trouble making decisions. But I like for people to really consider, because when someone makes that decision, I want them to dig their heels in and say, listen, I'm not a fair weather church member. I'm buying in, and I'm here, and I'm going to work and do what it is that God has called me to do. But maybe you're new and you're not sure if this is your church. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm going to try to sell you over the next few weeks. Full disclosure, I want you to know how wonderful this church is. I want you to know how fantastic this house is. I'm going to try to sell you, not pressure you, but I'm going to sell you on the opportunity you have to do spiritual life right here. Or maybe you've been around here for a long time. You've been through it all, but the experience has just become a bit stale to you. I'm going to do my best to see you renewed in this series. Your fervor, your zeal, your excitement renewed. Your passion for the things of God renewed. Maybe you're in a spiritually blah season and you can't quite put a finger on why that is. I'm going to do my best to remind you how good God has been to you in this series. I want you to remember how good God has been, and maybe it will pull you up out of those spiritual blahs, those spiritual mully grubs that just kind of, you know, well, if I wake up in time, or if the weather is just right, or if I like what it is the pastor is preaching. No, I want to somehow pull you out of that to say, hey, I love my church, whether it's raining or cold or hot or whatever's going on, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. And I love what Jesus said, Matthew 16 and verse 18. He said, I will build my church. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build my church. But I know there are going to be challenges. I know there are going to be difficulties. I know there is going to be a fight. I know there is going to be opposition. But let me just tell you, not only will I build my church, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail, will not win, will not conquer, will not be victorious. So if we will allow Jesus to build this church, guess what? Hell cannot defeat, hell cannot conquer, no amount of trouble, no circumstance, no challenge, nothing can prevail against his church. Is anybody glad that Jesus is building this church? The truth is, the church, the capital C global church, I distinguish there because we are known as the church, and that's what we call ourselves, formerly the Church Covington, but we often are the church. And so I want to distinguish when I'm talking about the global church, the capital C church, and when I'm talking about this local church. But the church, the capital C global worldwide church, has stood and will stand the test of time. This church, the Church Covington, has stood and will stand and overcome and fulfill the mandate of God. Listen, if you're new here, I don't have time to go through our resume and tell you everything. Some of it we don't even want to talk about, but this church has been through some challenges. We have faced some difficult days. There have been highs and there have been lows, and then there have been even lower lows. But look around, we're still here. Look around, somehow and some way, when they said we were going to close, when they said we wouldn't make it, when they said, man, they're done, just sell the building. No, God said, there is a church that I am raising up. There are a people that know how to worship, a people that know how to declare the word of the Lord. There is a church, and hell is not going to defeat this church. Why? Because we have a mandate from God. How do we stay on course? How do we stay on track? I believe we need to remember and we need to remain. We have to remember who we are, and we have to remain committed to the call. I just said a mouthful right there. We have to remember and remain. We have to remember who we are, which encompasses everything that we've been through as a church. And we have to remain committed to the call of God that is on our lives. You know why? Because church doesn't just happen. Great churches don't just pop up out of the ground. Doesn't happen. I know you may see some overnight wonders, or man, that church, they went from 0 to 1,000 overnight. How did that happen? Well, you want to know the inside scoop? They split somebody's church. Wait a minute, that's not revival. No, it generally doesn't happen that way. Somebody left somewhere, all of those things. And I'm not here to preach about that or even talk in detail about that. But we have to remember and we have to remain, because churches don't just happen. It is blood, it is sweat, it is tears, it is serving, it is giving, it is doing everything that we can do to establish the great church that we want to have in our community. Churches don't just happen because everything is against their success. Everything challenges great churches. Everything fights their success. And I know today that you and me, we are the church. We have a physical address And I'm thankful for this campus. I'm thankful for this building. But the real power is within us. It's within us. And I think oftentimes we forget that. Because our idea is, if I can just get to the church, if I can just get there on Sunday, I get it. I say the same thing and I feel the same way about this place. And I honestly feel this way every time I'm able, coming to work just a random Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, driving onto the campus. There's always a reverence. There's always a respect. There's always a thank you, Lord, that I get to do this. Thank you that I have the privilege and the honor of helping to establish and to build your church. But the truth is, I felt the same way in a storefront. I've felt the same way in a grass hunt on foreign land. I've felt the same way behind Iron Curtain doors where we had to worship at a whisper. I've felt the same way. Why? Because the church is in me. That's why I can feel God anywhere that I am. It doesn't just have to happen in this room, although this room is special and I'm thankful for it. It doesn't have to happen just in this room. It happens all over the place because I recognize and I understand that we are the church. We are the church. Let me read a little bit. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 12. Kind of setting up our series and where we're going for just a moment, but let me focus in and narrow in for a few moments today on what is going to help us build this church that he's called us to build. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along, or it'll be on the screen if you want to follow there. Acts 2, beginning at verse number 12. They stood there amazed and perplexed. Their minds were blown, but it was also confounded. I mean, this could go either way. We're astounded at what we see, but we're also somewhat confused, concerned, alarmed by what is happening. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. And Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. I'm going to settle the record. I'm going to set this straight once and for all." Verse 15, "These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that." Verse 16, "No, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." This is that. What did Joel say? If you refer back to Joel's book 2, chapter 2, and verse 28, in the last days, continuing verse 17 here in Acts chapter 2, but this is what he's quoting from Joel chapter 2 and 28. I hope that's not completely confusing to you. "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out of my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out of my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." So Peter is quoting what the prophet Joel said. Joel has his own book in chapter 2 and verse 28, but Peter quotes it directly. This is what Joel said, and this is what you are seeing happen. He said, "This is that." Because everyone wants to know what kind of church this is. What do you call yourself? Because we're into labels. We want to know. Labels make us comfortable. Labels inform us. Labels give us direction. They give us something to hang our hat on. We just kind of want to know, is this a Baptist church? Is this a Pentecostal church? Is this a non-denominational church? And then what is that is this, an XYZ church. But the reality is we're not really into labels, because this is a melting pot. There are people that come to this church that think it's a Baptist church. Shh, don't tell them. Some Sundays, they've got hope. I try to get them to come next Sunday. I'll be calm and quiet next Sunday. There's others that believe this is a Pentecostal church. I don't know where they get that idea from. We got a few folk that get excited around here. I'm looking for a few more to get excited around here. That went over powerful. Thank you, Teresa. I'm just going to start calling y'all out, I guess. We're not really into labels. And I know many of those lines have blurred in the last few years. Here's what I want to be. I want to be that church. What kind of church is this? This is that church. I go to that church. It all happened at that church. I want to see what that church looks like. I want to become known as that church in this community. When they hear something extravagantly generous happening in our community, and everybody says, who did that? It was that church. It was that. I want to have the reputation of being that church. Hey, you know, so-and-so, they've been blind all their life, but now they can see. Are you kidding? Where did that happen? It was at that church. I want to be that church where things happen that are supernatural and incredible and miraculous and over the top and beyond anything we ever could have believed or even thought possible. Is anybody hearing me in this house today? We have the opportunity to build the kind of church that Jesus wants us to be. I want to be that church. So I want to give you three pillars of that church. Three pillars that if we will establish these pillars, we can become, we can be, we can live as, operate as a that church. The first pillar is the pillar of praise. Got to have praise into that church. It's got to be praise. And for the purposes of my teaching today, I use praise and worship interchangeably, although I do believe there is a distinction in the two. I really believe that praise is the byproduct of worship. I believe praise is the outcome. Praise is the result of worship. I believe worship has more to do with my lifestyle. It has more to do with my Monday through Friday. And when I get into the presence of the Lord, praise is the response to a life lived in worship all week long. When I've talked right, when I've thought right, when I have remained positive, when I have lived my life according to the Word of God. I'm not saying perfect. We all stumble, we all trip, we all make mistakes, but we get back up and we get back on track, and then we come in on Sunday and it's like, whoo, I've been worshiping all week. They didn't have to encourage me or talk me into it or pray me through to get me to a place of praise. I've been doing this all week long with how I've been living, how I've been treating my neighbor, how I've been communicating to those around me. And so now I'm coming in and there is a spirit, a call to praise him and to magnify him and to bless him, because praise is the product of worship. Worship is my lifestyle. Jesus said in John 4:23, the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. So I'm going to tell you three things about praise that are important. Three things under the praise pillar. Number one, praise based on choice, not feeling. I need to praise based on choice, not on feeling. I'm talking about how we establish the pillar of praise. If I'm being completely honest with you, nothing drives me more crazy than to see our worship team having to cheerlead or having to convince or having to somehow sell the opportunity to worship the Lord. Oh, okay, I'll preach. I don't mind. I'm not scared. This idea that Sunday morning is our rest time, that Sunday morning is our nap time, that Sunday morning is just my time to chill. I've worked hard all week, and so now I deserve a break. I'm not disrespecting your hard work. I work hard all week as well. Yeah, but worship is your job. No, no, no. Please don't get this twisted. We are all called to be saints. Everybody in this room, that's what Paul said. Everybody has a mandate on them to worship. Yeah, but I don't do it as energetic as you do it. That's fine. But I sure can't worship God if I'm sitting on my hands or I have my arms folded or I'm half asleep while somebody's up here sweating and reaching and commanding and calling the Spirit of the Lord into the house. We need to give God the praise that he is worthy of. And I do that based on choice, not on feeling. Because if I praise him based on choice, I'm doing it because I know it's the right thing to do, whether I feel like it or not. How many times do we not feel like it? A lot. But if we do it because it's the right thing to do, I made a choice. I made a commitment. I know this is what is right. Here's what I've learned in life. Choices lead, feelings follow. If I'll make the right choice, eventually my feelings will catch up to the choices that I've made. If I get that backwards and say, well, I'm going to see how I feel before I make the choice. I'm going to tell you 100% every time, you will never make the right choice. You just won't. Our flesh just won't allow us. The lazy in us just will not allow us. The ugly in us, the perverted in us, the jealous in us, the whatever adjective, whatever descriptor you want to use, it just will not allow us because we are fighting this flesh every single day. If I ask for a show of hands of every single person in the room that has conquered their flesh, I'm not going to ask because I don't even want to give you the temptation to lie. There would not be one hand. No one has conquered. As long as you're living in this flesh vehicle, there is temptation and there is struggle and there is lazy and there is rut and there is potential to just not really care, just ho-hum about it all. But if I make a choice, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm taking myself to the house of the Lord today, and nobody's going to have to prod me. Nobody's going to have to pull me. No one's going to have to push me. I'm going to be first to worship. I'm going to be first on my feet. I'm going to be the loudest person on my row. Why? Because I'm doing this because of a choice and not because of a feeling. Pastor Darrell, I like going to a church where they don't mess with me. I like going to a church where they don't challenge me. I don't know how long you're going to like this one. And I don't say that flippant. I really don't. But we got a work to do. We've got a work to do. We've got a call on our lives So if I can be a good pastor and challenge, if I can be a good pastor and say, hey, wake up, come on, let's see what God can do. Why? Because we love our church. Praise based on choice, not on feeling. Let me get off of that. Number two, praise with everything I have. Praise with everything I have. Leave it all on the field. Because the truth is, we need a revival of urgency to hit us. A revival of desperation to hit us. Turn on your news, see what's happening in our nation. See the things that are going on. Folks, we need a revival of urgency to hit us. I believe we are closer to the coming of the Lord than we ever have been before. And we're not going to fill these seats. We're not going to make a difference in our community if we're just arms crossed and ho-hum about the whole deal. No, there's got to be an urgency that hits us that says, you know what? Some you save by pulling them out of the fire. If I'm going to pull somebody out of the fire, then I've got to be willing to get near the heat. I'm preaching good. David said in 2 Samuel 24 and 24, no, I insist on buying it. For I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. What's the context? David was traveling and it was time to worship. It was time to sacrifice. But he wasn't at home. He wasn't where his own personal altars were established. He was traveling in a land unfamiliar to him. So he stopped and talked to a landowner and he said, I need to buy some ground for you. King, what do you need the ground for? I need to worship. I need to build an altar. I need to make a sacrifice. It's time to go to church. I'm out here on the road on business, but it's time for me to go to church. The landowner said, I'll give you the land. You go do whatever you want to do, king. And the king said, no. I refuse. I refuse to worship in a cheap way. I refuse to worship on ground that cost me nothing. Because there is a sacrifice that comes with my praise. We got to get this idea of our minds that is cheap, that is less than. No, if we're going to build a church, it's going to cost us something. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be some sweat. There's going to be some tired days. There's going to be some frustrated days. But I refuse to build on something that didn't cost me. It may cost me my life, but you know what? It'll be a worthy sacrifice because I'm doing it for the Lord. I understand it's the mindset of the day. I was listening to talk radio yesterday, and I don't know if I could call the name of it. If I think about it, I didn't have this in my notes and wasn't planning to say this, but it's just on my mind. But the young people are in college. They're buying into some kind of a, I don't even know. I think of it like a LexisNexis kind of a thing, but they pay $14.99. And students at our Ivy League colleges all over the country, the best of the best, may have some college age students in the rooms, college students that know what I'm talking about. They pay $14.99. And somehow they got the answer to every test question. And they interview, and they talk to all of these students, and all of them are using this system. The problem is they're not learning the information. Because that's where we are in 2021. No one wants to know, they just want to get by. No one wants to grow in knowledge or understanding, they just want to get the trophy. They just want to get the certificate. And if you think that hasn't crept into the church, you are mistaken. Because the church has not been leading. The church has been following. The church has become more worldly and worldly. I'm all in the middle of it today. I realize. Come back next week. Always promising it's going to be better next week, and I'll really pray this week, I promise. But it's crept in. It's crept in because we're frustrated that something doesn't happen overnight. We're eating cheeseburgers that were made in 30 seconds and calling it good. Folks, that is an impossibility. We have trained our brains to accept lesser quality because we'd rather accept less quality than pay the price for process. I hear you thinking. I can buy you a $1 cheeseburger from one of those fast food stands that they prepare in 30 seconds. Or I can invite you to my house and I can take the time to build the fire and get the grill hot. But I'm gonna need about 2 hours to really do it right. Now, if you want something fast, if you want something quick, if you want something immediate, look at me. I've eaten some of that terrible cheeseburgers in my time. But it's not what's really good. And when I think of church, I can't think of church in terms of, why is he taking this long? What? I mean, we've been here for an hour and 24 minutes. When is this thing going to wrap up? No, sometimes quality takes a little longer. Sometimes you got to build the fire. Sometimes you got to establish the heat source. Sometimes you got to just spend some time in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because you're cooking quality. You're building something. You're establishing something. If you want this to happen in 55 minutes, I'm sorry, it's not your church. If you want this to happen without prayer or praise or sacrifice, then guess what? This is not the house. But for people that love their church, they understand that they got to get the wood and they got to build the fire and they've got to make it happen. Why? Because we're trying to build something that is going to sustain us. Yes, yes. Building something that's going to feed our family, that's going to sustain us. People say it, just not being fed. All I have to say to people who are not being fed is you're not helping me cook. I'm not mad at anybody. It's just the reality. If we're going to build a church, I've got to do this with everything I have. Mark 12 and 30, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Anybody catch the key word? It's all. It's going to take everything that I have. Number three, under praise, I've got to praise expecting God to respond. Believing he is going to work. See, the people that are going to be blessed today, the people that are going to be helped are people that woke up and said, I'm going to church and something is going to happen in my life today. I'm going into his presence and something is going to happen. Something is going to take place in my life. The key is my faith. The key is knowing that God will do something when we worship him because he inhabits praise. God is never a no-show. If you worship him, he always comes close. James 4 and 8, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Because here's the truth. What I worship, I become obsessed with. And what I become obsessed with, I imitate. And what I imitate, I become. What do you want to become? What do you want God to do in your life? Let me tell you the second pillar today. Lord, do I need to save the second pillar for next week if I preach long enough? Krista nodding her head. Yep, you done. All right. Come on, worship. Maybe we need to worship for just a moment here today. Give God praise here for just a moment today. I got three pillars. I promise you, I got notes. Notes upon notes. But what if God was trying to speak to us in this moment? What if God was trying to say something in this moment? To say, I'm not going to miss because this is a pillar that I've got to establish in my life. It's the pillar of praise. It's establishing that God is great and greatly to be praised. Has he been good to anybody in this room? I say it often because I'm trying to qualify and I'm honestly trying to bring everybody along. I realize we have so many different backgrounds in this room and so many different spiritual pedigrees and histories, and everybody's welcome at the church. There's people in this room, people sitting in this room right now that are like, ooh, it makes me nervous when they preach on praise because that's not what I'm used to. That's not the norm for me. That's not what I'm accustomed to. That energy, that excitement, it makes me nervous. And there's somebody on the other side of the room that are like, come on, let's go. They're cracking the whip on the racehorse saying, let's go, let's run faster. Let's praise louder. So I'm always trying to bring everybody along. But hear me. Doesn't matter what your label. Doesn't matter what your history is. In the Bible, we're commanded to worship Him. And what I cannot allow to happen, I can't allow my tradition, how I was raised, how I was taught, what was told me was appropriate, I can't allow my tradition to become more important than the call on my life. Does that make sense? I can't allow what they told me as a little girl or a young man. People that worship like that are crazy. Get stuck in our heads. My mother said the first time she walked into church, my father had been going for a few weeks, coming home and telling her, you got to come. This is unbelievable. This is amazing. This is incredible. The first time she came, he couldn't get her to come any closer than the back row. She came in and first seat she could find meant she was as far away from those people as she could get. She said, I thought they were crazy. I'd never heard of anything like this, never seen anything like this. My mother wasn't raised going to church. My grandmother, the first church she was ever a member of, was the one we planted in Texas. She was well into her 70s when she became a member of her first church. I baptized her. She'd never been baptized before. Led her to Jesus. Never given her heart to Jesus. Wonderful, hilarious, awesome lady, soul winner, brought people to our church. But she had never been saved. That was the environment my mother had been raised in. Never went to church. So the first time I'm going to church, it's you, y'all. Ooh. I was hoping for something more quiet my first time. But what happened was there was a room full of people that loved their church. People that were on fire. People that were, whoo, God has been good to me. Haven't gotten over my salvation. I just remember every now and then where I was, who I was. I just look back and consider, and I haven't gotten over it yet. Don't get over how good God has been to you. Don't get over how great and how awesome and how wonderful He has been in your life. Where would you be? Where would I be if I had been left alone to just keep living the way I was living? Where would I be? But He saved me from all of that. Picked me up, turned my life around, set my feet on solid ground. So when I come into His presence, when I start feeling those goosebumps up and down my arms, I can't just sit on my hands. I can't just remain quiet. No, there is something that is rising up inside of me. There is something that is bubbling. There is something that is happening that I've got to let a praise out and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Darrell, you're trying to build a wild church. I just want a worshiping church. It's going to be one of those crazy places. No. But it can be a house where the glory cloud is so thick and the presence of God is so strong. We used to say it was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Whatever that means. But I know there's times I walk into this room and I'm like, whew. God is in this room. Why? Because someone has made sacrifice. Someone has made sacrifice. Someone has paid price. Someone has said yes. Someone wants the move of God. Fill my heart till all they see is You, Lord.